Thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. The service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig, and we're inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will bless our broadcast to your heart today. Father, we're truly thankful that you promised to be with us if we would acknowledge you in all of our ways. You said you would direct our path. So we are thankful for your precious promises, for we know that you keep them. Now we pray as this broadcast service goes forth, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to each and to every heart. We're so thankful for the gospel, for the power of the gospel, and what it does in the hearts and lives of those who receive it. So use this broadcast to be a blessing to souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Subject for today's broadcast, Things the Holy Spirit Does. But before I go further, I would like to make a few remarks in regard to the Holy Spirit. There are those who deny the Holy Spirit as a person. There's a group of people that teach the Jesus-only doctrine, and all these other things are titles for Jesus. And then there are those who believe that there is only two in the Godhead, Father and Son, and that the Holy Spirit is just merely the power of God. But I would like to call your attention to a few verses of Scripture that, as far as I am concerned, clearly shows that there is a person of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' commission to the disciples, he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he told them to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. And we read in 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, when Paul was closing out his second letter to the church at Corinth, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." And we see here Paul mentions Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was baptized, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, that the Holy Spirit came from heaven and rested upon him. The Spirit of God descended upon him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So we have all three in the Godhead here. The Spirit descending, the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son," and Jesus standing there in the water of the Jordan. Now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now that's Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. And we notice in this verse of Scripture that the Holy Spirit is referred to as the eternal Spirit. So he is just as eternal as God the Father and God the Son. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Then we read Paul's writings to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4 and verse 4, where Paul said, "There is one body and one Spirit." You just as well to say there is no church, no body, as to say there is no Spirit. There is one body and one Spirit. And of course, Paul was speaking of the Holy Spirit. I believe there is a body, the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the body. And I also believe that there is one Spirit that dwells in that one body. Now our subject again, things the Holy Spirit does. And our text of Scripture is just the verse that I just quoted, Ephesians 4 and 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. The baptism and work of the Holy Spirit are of great importance, both to the individual believer and to the work of God. And now I would like to call your attention to some of the works of the Holy Spirit on the broadcast today. First of all, he convicts the unsaved of their sins. When he is come, Jesus said, talking of the Holy Spirit, whenever he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John chapter 16 and verse 8. Without this convicting power, an unsaved person will never be saved. The Lord said in Genesis 6 and 3, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man." And Jesus said, "No one can come unto me except a Father which has sent me draw him." And we understand that the Father draws through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Whenever he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Number two, the Spirit regenerates. One must be born of the Word and the Spirit to be saved, to become a member of the body of Christ. So Jesus told Nicodemus, as recorded in John 3, 3 and 5. Church joining is not salvation, and church joining is not being born again. You must be born of the Word and of the Spirit, according to the Apostle Peter. Now, number three, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. We can know that we are saved. I know there's some people that say you can't really know that you're saved, but whenever you are dead in trespasses and sins and are quickened, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:2, in other words, whenever you are resurrected from that state of death to life in Christ, surely you will know it. When you pass from death to life, you know it. I tell you, Martha and Mary's brother Lazarus, when he was resurrected from the dead, he knew that he was alive, and so it is possible for the Christian to know. Yes, we can know that we are saved. We can know that we have passed from death to life. Salvation is a no-so experience. Now, number 4, the Holy Spirit fills the soul when you are sanctified. Yes, sanctification is a separate work from regeneration. You must be born again to become a member of the body of Christ, and then having become a member of the body of Christ, you need to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be filled with the Spirit. So Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, be filled with the Spirit. Now number 5, he gives you power. Yes, the Holy Spirit does give you power. Now the Holy Spirit is a person, I say, but he does give you power. But it's the Spirit that gives the power. The Spirit is not the power, but he gives the power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit gives the Christian power whenever he is sanctified. Now, number 6, the Spirit guides. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he, notice that he, shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16 and 13. Notice what this verse of Scripture, and this is Jesus talking here in John 16 and 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak. So the Holy Spirit is capable of speaking. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, so he has the ability of hearing, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now Jesus was not merely talking about power here in this verse of Scripture. He was talking about the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Godhead. Number 7, he helps us to know the truth. Again, Jesus speaking said in John 14 and 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That verse of Scripture certainly proves that Jesus-only doctrine is false. Jesus said on another occasion, I will send you another comforter. I will pray to the Father, and he shall send you another comforter. Jesus was a comforter while he was here with them in the flesh, but he said he must go away. And they were made sad about that. But he said, I'll give you another. I'll send another comforter. I'll pray the Father to send you another comforter. He didn't say, I'm going to pray to the Father to have you to have him to send me back to you. That is not what he said. He said, another comforter. That's John 14:26. Now, number 8, he helps us in our prayer life. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit helps us in our prayer life. He makes intercessions for us. Now, number 9, he blesses our labor for Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in the Lord. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Now, number 10, he fits for service. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So the Holy Spirit fits for service. The Holy Spirit helps the Christian to bear more fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. That's point number 11. That's John 15 and 5. Now, number 12. The Holy Spirit is the other comforter Jesus promised. As I mentioned a few moments ago, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. John chapter 14 and verse 16. Now point number 13. The Holy Spirit is given to unify God's people. Neither pray I for these alone, the disciples, neither pray I alone for these, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. John 17, verses 20 and 21. In Paul's writings again to the church at Ephesus, in chapter 4, he speaks about two different unities. In verse 3, he speaks about the unity of the Spirit, and later in that chapter, he speaks about the unity of the faith. So the Spirit is given to unify God's people. Paul said that they should all speak the same thing. He told the brethren or the church there at Corinth that there should be no division among them, that they should all speak the same thing. So we have the unity of the Spirit, and we have the unity of the faith, and both are brought about through the operation and work of the Spirit of God. Now, number 14, the Spirit imparts spiritual gifts. I'll not take time to read this from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but if you'll read that chapter 12, verses 3 through 11, you'll find a number of the gifts, and Paul emphasizes the fact that those gifts are given by the same Spirit. A number of times he repeats that phrase, by the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit imparts spiritual gifts, preaching, teaching, miracles, healings, and various other gifts. And all of them are given by the one same Holy Spirit. As to the work of God, this divine experience of sanctification is necessary in order to properly to fit us for the Lord's service. And every saint of God has a work to do. Yes, every member of the body of Christ has a work to do, and you need the Holy Spirit in your life to enable you to do that work. We read again in Paul's writings to the church at Corinth that God places the members in the body as it pleaseth Him. And it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to fill the place that God would have us to fill. Thank God for the precious Holy Spirit. Jesus went back to the Father, but He said, I'll send you another Comforter that He may abide with you, not for 3.5 years, but that He may abide with you forever. And truly, the Spirit is indeed a Comforter. He is a teacher. He is one who gives gifts, and He also gives you power to live a righteous and a godly life in this sin-cursed world in which we are living today. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the precious Holy Spirit. We thank You for the Word of God and for the understanding that the Spirit gives us of the Word of God. We trust that the Spirit has accompanied this message today and has made it a blessing to our congregation. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share with you another Way of Truth broadcast, and we do trust that it has been a blessing. And if it has, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And our mailing address is the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. Our fax number, 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And I remind you that on our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, and you can also listen to previous broadcasts if you missed any, or you would like to hear one over again. We have a number posted there on our webpage, and also our services are broadcast over the internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service begins at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being with us today, and we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will come your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
When my soul was black with sin, and I had no peace within, Jesus came and changed my life. Now I have abiding peace that doth ever increase, for the Savior changed my life. He changed my life one day and taught me how to pray. I tell the world about His love and my sweet home in heaven above, all because He changed my life. As I lived in my own way, never did I stop to pray, but He came and changed my life. Oh, what love He had for me when He died on the tree. By His power He changed my life. He changed my life one day. Joy and peace divine filled this longing heart of mine when He came and changed my life. Now I know I'll live again with the Christ there to reign, for by grace He changed my life. Because He changed my life. All because